Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 3 John. 3 John, we'll read verses 7 through 11 together. We'll read this passage responsibly. 3 John, verses 7 through 11. Third John, verses 7 through 11, and we'll read this responsively. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. And let's finish on verse 11 together. Ready? Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God. But he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And let's pray. Father, thank you for our church. Lord, as our preacher often reminds us, we don't have to come, we get to come. Lord, I can't imagine what people in the world that don't go to church do. I can't imagine anything being better than this. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Lord, allow our church to grow spiritually as well as numerically, so that we could further your kingdom the way you want it done, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I'm going to speak the second half of the sermon that I started this morning. It's entitled, The Kind of People Who Destroy Churches. I told you this morning, this is a preventative maintenance type of a sermon. Let me do something. There are people that sometimes work Sunday mornings. There are some that are in children's churches and nurseries and Spanish church and so many places on a Sunday morning during the preaching service. How many of you were unable to be here this morning to hear the first part of the sermon? Raise your hand. Well, there's probably about 80 or so. And so I'm going to try to catch you up real quick if I can. But I would recommend this. It's very practical. I wish that you would get the CD. We make it so that those of you that are busy in other ministries may get a copy. I wish that you would. Our church is a strong church. It's a unified church. In this sermon, I'm not trying to fix anything that's broken, because right now I don't know of anything that's broken. I'm teaching this so that we don't get broken. I don't want these kind of problems to develop. I mentioned this morning. If I taught these 14 or 15 points in a Bible college, every young preacher boy would need to set up and glue his attention to the words that I'm saying, because what I'm saying, you don't sit down and prepare a sermon in 30 minutes like the one that I'm giving you. It takes years of experience in being involved in churches and being around churches to gather all of this information. Now, I want us to learn it. We just finished a very successful spring program, lots of new people in our church, lots of new opportunity to help people. We need to make sure our church, we've stepped up, we're entering into a new era, and we've stepped up, and God is doing something greater and bigger in our church, and these kind of things will protect us and help us. In 3 John, we read it together with Brother Bush a little bit ago. 3 John is a letter from John to the church. It is written about three men in the church, and I am going to, and something just changed about the PA. I don't know what it was, but it very obviously just changed. 3 John is written about three men in a church. A man by the name of Gaius. He is a man who was spiritually healthy, but he was physically ill or sick. The Bible says in verse number 2 of 3 John, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Here's a man that was not well physically, but he was very healthy spiritually. And John says to Gaius, he said, I wish that you, look right at me if you will, I wish that your body was as healthy as you are spiritually, and that's quite a compliment. We see a second person written about in this book. It's Demetrius, a man that loved and obeyed the truth. Man with an excellent testimony among the people. In 3 John verse number 12, it says, Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. John even said, I'll even go to bat for this guy named Demetrius. He loves the truth. He does what's right. And John compliments him and says, I'm willing to testify to that. And then finally we get to the third man mentioned, and this man's name is Diotrephes. He's a church troublemaker. He's a church trouble creator. And it is he about who our text refers this evening, and that is written about in this passage. He's the one. In verse number 9 it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Here, Diotrephes, it says he loves to have preeminence. In other words, he works hard at getting attention. He's trying to draw people to himself. He wanted to be lifted up. He wanted leadership, power, and control. But you got to remember, this guy's he's the guy with the black hat on. He's not the cowboy with the white hat. He's got the black hat on. This is a bad guy. And he is lifting himself up, looking for preeminence among the people. John said, this man named Diotrephes, he receiveth us not. In other words, he's rejecting John. He's rejecting, and you understand, John here is writing the scripture, and this man is rejecting John, and rejecting John's leadership. He would not follow the man of God. He rejects the church leadership. You see that in this passage. He was, I believe, probably inwardly jealous and covetous of the other church leaders, and especially of John. In verse number 10 it says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them not that would, and casteth them out of the church. Here, John said, if I came, I'm going to remember his evil deeds. There's a list of evil that he's doing to cause division in the church. This was not a one-time display of rebellion. Any of us could lose it and say something or do something we shouldn't. This was repetitive enough that he's now labeled by John as an evil man, and there's a whole list of misbehaviors by this man. It says he was prating against us with malicious words. John said this man is not content. He's not satisfied with anything going on in the church. He's unsatisfied with the leaders and unsatisfied with the ministries and unsatisfied with what's happening. Neither does he himself receive the brethren. He's rejecting the people of the church, it says. He rejects those loyal, satisfied members of the congregation. Gaius, he rejected him. Why? Well, Gaius was a loyal, God-fearing man. And Diotrephes said, I don't have anything to do with him. And then Demetrius, he is rejected. Spiritual, loyal, dedicated people are a threat to him. The Bible says, and he forbiddeth them that would. And what's that mean? What was he forbidding? Well, people that were loyal and after the truth and committed and content, he was trying to keep them from being like that. He's forbidding that they behave that way. Says he actually casteth them out of the church. What's it mean? He's running people off. He's actually somewhere behind the scenes, still in the church, running people off. His words of disunity and disloyalty chase good people out of the church. In verse number 11, it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. And John now is saying, you watch out, Diotrephes is evil. And he says, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. So John is saying, yeah, not follow this guy. Remember, he's been deemed evil. Now, I've taught you, and I mentioned this morning, it's worth saying again tonight, there's a difference in sin and evil. Sin is what I do that hurts me. Evil is sin, but evil is what I do, and I pull others into it. Evil, in most cases in the Bible, is someone that is maliciously and on purpose doing wrong and trying to get people to do wrong. A lot of evil comes along with backbiting and gossip and disunity and causing discord among the brethren. And John says, you ought not have anything to do with it. Don't follow him. Don't follow his example. Separate from him. Don't fellowship with him. Now, you got to remember something. The devil hates God. The devil hates God's book. The devil hates God's work. The devil hates churches that stand for the old-time way. The devil influences people. And I remind you this morning, I feel sorry for people that do wrong. That means I fellowship with them, but I feel sorry for them because they don't understand. They're being used as a pawn in the devil's scheme. Devil will take good people, turn them sour, then turn them on the church, and devil will use them up, abuse them, have everybody say, I don't want to spend any time with them, and they get away from the church, and then they fall on the wayside, and you never hear of them again. They were used of the devil to hurt somebody and hurt a church, and never again are they productive for God. I feel bad for them because they've been tricked by the devil. The devil is our ultimate enemy, not those people, but I want to be careful the devil doesn't get to use me as a tool against the things of God. The devil's so smart, he can even convince these type of people that, well, they're doing God a favor. Now, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13, 14, and 15, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Here God said, you know, they can talk religious, they can look religious, they can act religious, but there's evil in them, and they're hurting the work, not helping the work. In 3 John, it is actually a man of God warning a church that he loves that there are people that destroy the work of God. I'm doing the same thing today. I'm coming to a church that I love, which is a group of people that I love, and I say, let's be careful. Now, I told you this earlier today. The whole purpose of this sermon is not for you to think of somebody else. The whole purpose of this sermon is so you can think of you. You want to make sure that you're not like Diotrephes. Make sure that a Diotrephes is not influencing you, but you make sure that you're not a Diotrephes, and make sure there's not Diotrephes behavior going on in your house. Now, I'll catch you up very quickly, and I have to hurry, but I want to tell you very quickly the points that I gave this morning. What kind of people destroy churches? And I've looked at it. I've studied it through the years. There is repetitive behaviors of certain kind of people, and you see them hurting churches all across the country. Let me say, first of all, church-hopping troublemakers. I told you this earlier today. There's some people that join churches and lead churches. They do it very ethically. They do it very appropriately. And there are sometimes people need to lead churches. When churches leave the old-time way and they leave the teaching and the preaching of the Bible and they lose their standards, it's time for somebody to get out if they're going to stay on the old path. There are going to be times when you ought to do that. But let me say, there are some people that are out there just hopping from church to church to church, causing trouble. What they don't realize, they think it was that church, and they think it was that pastor, and they bring their problem with them because the problem is them. There are some that are just church hoppers, and they're troublemakers. They go here and warm up to the people for a little while, and then end up causing their problem and go somewhere else. Those kind of people have caused grief at church after church after church. Secondly, said the kind of people that can destroy a church are church staff members, and their mates who become disloyal. And that's where I qualified this thing. If somebody works on the church staff, the church has paid them to win the hearts of the people, and every once in a while there's somebody that gets contrary. They're actually being paid by the church and will turn on that very church. Then they'll use their influence, and they pull people away from the church. Nothing like some man that's in the church becoming disloyal, one up the road a mile or two and starting another church and drawing people away and breaking the people's hearts. There's something wrong with that. That's just not right. I don't have that problem, but there are churches all across America, when they hear this CD, they're going to say, oh, I'm glad to hear somebody say that, because they face it. They face it. Then thirdly, I said strong leaders in a church who won't follow can hurt a church. And it's good to have strong leadership in the church. This church is full of strong men. It's full of strong men, capable businessmen, capable people. I like that. I don't mind that at all. But all of us have to be able to contain our strength or we'll kill each other. Businessmen, sometimes they're used to barking out orders, running everything, then they come to the church. You just have to remember that you're not at the top of the totem pole at the church. God appoints a pastor to be there, and some people don't like to hear that said, but that's what the Bible teaches. And that's how it's supposed to be. Now, but businessmen, I want you to be strong. I love that. And we give you an area to build a business. Even here at the church, we give you something to build. Go build it. Have at it. Take off. Make it happen. But you got to be careful. So many times, strong leaders will get in a church, and then they can't control themselves. They don't know their place, and they can destroy a church. Military personnel, the stronger they get, you see, you start out at the bottom of the totem pole. And I've watched many men fresh out of boot camp come to churches. They're some of the most delightful people you ever met. Why? They just spent weeks and weeks telling them to shut up and obey. They come to church, and they're, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, sir, we'll do it. But the more rank you get, the less you take orders, the more you give orders. And if you're not careful, you come to church and you start barking out all sorts of orders, you can get yourself in trouble because you're not King Tut. Ex-pastors. Men, and why? Well, they're strong leaders. We don't have a problem with that here. But ex-pastors, they think they know how it ought to be done. Well, there's only one person that has to be at the primary shepherding position of a local New Testament church, and we can't have 10 people doing that one primary job. I have assistant pastors. They help me. They do a fine job. We have men that used to be in the pastorate here in our church. They're loyal. They're careful, and we don't have any problems with it. But a lot of churches do. Laymen that get a leadership position in the church. Sometimes they begin to build something, and that leadership goes to their head, and before long, they're doing their own little thing. They don't support the church program. They don't get the people. Adult Sunday school teachers that don't get their people into the church activities. They don't show up for anything. Just their own little private little clique. That's wrong. That's wrong. Strong people in a church. Look, churches don't grow unless you have strong people. But if you're going to have strong people, the strong people have to learn how to control themselves. If not, they make havoc for the church. And I know that makes sense to all of us. Number four. I said people that can destroy a church, destroy the spirit of a church, are position seekers who've been offended. Lots of people want to serve God. If they're looking for an opportunity, they don't get that opportunity, that sometimes they're offended. And before long, they're mad at whoever did get the opportunity or whoever appointed someone to the opportunity. Boy, when somebody gets this burr in their saddle, they almost always end up out of the church and hurting somebody on their way out. Almost always. So you say, well, Brother Owens, how do I handle that right there? Just want to be a servant and be satisfied with that. Don't be sitting on the edge of your seat just waiting for a promotion. You're liable to have your heart broken. And you may be bypassed, not intentionally. Maybe it's not right timing, but I've watched time and time again. Somebody that they just want that position, they want to be appointed to this or want to be appointed to that. They're bypassed, they're hurt, they become bitter. Before they long, they take a little group of people, and they don't even tell everybody. See, they're too smart to tell everybody that they're offended for not getting a position. So they'll find every other little thing they can find wrong, but the truth is, in their heart, they didn't get something that they coveted, and their covetousness has now hurt them. Because covetousness is not blessed by God. Never has been, never will be. Number next, bitter people or people with wounded spirits. I lean a little heavier toward the bitter part of it. Bitter people, if they don't get that bitterness taken care of, they just vent and they have nasty attitudes. But you be careful. Don't you let bitterness, anybody could be touched with a little bit of a bitter feeling or attitude. You better get that out of there as fast as you can. Get it straightened out. Don't you let differences between you and people in the church linger. Don't you let it linger. You get to the altar and get your heart cleared up and get to that person and go out and have a cup of coffee and straighten that out and apologize. And if not, that bitterness will take root. And before long, you'll have a nasty, bitter life. And that which you used to love, you now despise. Because that's what bitterness does to you. It's what it does to any of us. Next thing I said that can destroy churches are backslidden leaders. That's where I said, leaders, you're supposed to be reading your Bible and praying and coming to church and tithing and all those things. You're supposed to be going soul winning. When you were recruited into a leadership position here in this church, there were certain expectations. People said, sure, I'll do that. If you're not careful, though, you'll get backslidden. Now you've been given influence, but you're backslidden. You were only given the influence to be a role model because you had agreed to live at a certain level. Now you say, I stumble a little bit. Get back on track right away. Why? You could hurt the church. You can get so far away from God, you'll be using your leadership that you were given. You'll use that leadership, and you'll pull people out of your church and mess people up. Be careful now. Then we said evil people. Now remember, evil people are those who have they're wanting to hurt. They're pretty slick. I told you this morning, lost church members. But let me remind you always, evil people make prey on simple people. The Bible teaches it all the way through. Evil people, they go to influencing those that don't have the courage to say no, don't have the sense to say no, don't have the sense to know what the truth is. So you be careful. Evil people are that way. And if somebody evil's gotten a hold of you and they tried to influence you, they're not complimenting you thinking you're smart. They think you're stupid. And the simplicity has a certain amount of just stupidity in it. You need to be careful. Again, it is not a compliment to you. The smarter Christians avoid that. So they're coming to you thinking that you're gullible and that you're not wise. They're taking advantage of you. Now, let me go on. I've got to hurry. Number next, and this is where we take off new for the night. The kind of people that can destroy churches are people who try to lead the church from the pew. People that try to lead the church from the pew. They get their own cause. They rally people to it. They use the organization of the church to promote their cause without the pastor's permission. They demand their, you know, I'm a member of the church, I tithe here, I have a right to start any ministry I want inside this church. And really, no, you don't. It's not necessarily a blatant rebellion against pastoral leadership, but it's avoiding pastoral guidance for the church. They have a ministry, but it's not pastor recommended or pastor led. That's a Diotrephes attitude right there. They push things to others that the pastor does not push. They promote people, places, and things that the pastor does not. And they know better than the pastor, and they know something he does not know. And he's too narrow-minded to see what they see. I had a lady, very, very wise lady, 2 years ago, she came to me and she said, Brother Owen, somebody in our church is starting something. And she said, I came to see if you know anything about it because they're inviting church people and they're saying it's a church ministry. I said, I never heard of it. She said, well, I'm not joining it then. I said, well, I appreciate that. You can't start things to represent this church without the pastor knowing what's going on and it being done right. For it to be done right. I want you to love the Lord, and I want you to serve the Lord. If you want something to do, come on, we'll give you something to do. But people go avoiding that step of it. They have some Diotrephes in them somewhere. Somewhere. Now, and so let me tell you something. Sometimes this includes people with money. Because they think, listen, something that our church, I want them to know, and I think churches all across America, pastor ought to be able to say this, you can't buy a position in this church. You're dealing with the wrong man. You say, well, I'll give $100,000 to the church if you'll let me. You can give $100,000 to the church, and I'll let you put it in the offering. But I'm not for sale. It'll be a cold day in hell before you'll buy me. I've been doing this for a long time. I know where my salary comes from. And I don't have anybody trying to do that. I wish they would, but... But then sometimes people get money, and they think that money gives them clout. We're all supposed to tithe and give our money. If you are ever giving, thinking you're buying your way into an opportunity here, somebody has sold you a wooden nickel because that's not available here. Now, there are other churches where that's available, but it's not available here. And so, you got to be careful. Number next, people that can destroy churches are people who won't grow. They won't grow. People that won't grow are a bit dangerous. They say no to growth. Now listen to this. People, when they're taught something, it's from the Bible, and they say no to it. Now, every time that no issue is preached, it causes them some internal anger. Starts to grow a bitterness. Maybe they're a little embarrassed about it because they're not doing what they ought. So they may feel even attacked. There are certain things, if I preach it, if somebody's not obeying it, there's an element inside them that makes them feel like somebody's attacking them. Really, it might be the Holy Spirit convicting them, but they're not going to see it that way. They're going to say, the preacher's attacking me. If somehow, I don't even know you don't do it, but you're mad at me. I'm not the one that convicted you in the first place. So they then must speak their peace to defend their position to their maid or to somebody else. They can actually become disloyal that way. See, when people are not growing, but you're in a church that is a growing church, growing spiritually, the truth is not going to change and the same things are going to keep being preached. And so every time that thing that's being preached that you said no to comes along, you stand a chance of getting bitter and angry at the pastor. Areas of growth like tithing or soul winning or separation, standards, ecclesiastical separation, music. I won't quit preaching against country and rock and roll music. But every time I do, you get a little peeved with me, and if you're not careful, you'll end up being one of these people that attack the church. You'll never tell anybody it's because you love rock and roll. But because you didn't change, you almost attack because you feel like you're being attacked, and I'm not. Preaching the same thing. Anybody's been here for 7 years, I'm preaching the same thing I've been preaching for 7 years. Anybody that knows me, you know I'm preaching the same thing I've been preaching for 30 years. I've not changed what I preach. Submission, the King James Bible, Christian school, those sort of things. People get contrary about it. And if you reject a truth, then if you're not careful, that issue will become personal between you and the pastor. You'll never tell anybody that. It happens in the privacy of your heart. But I know what I'm talking about right now. I know what I'm talking about. Let me go on. Actually, this is number 10 in the outline. What kind of people could destroy a church, would destroy a church like this? I have down number 10, people who didn't read our church sign right when they came in. This is the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. I'm not a charismatic. I'm a Baptist. We don't yoke up with every Tom, Dick, and Harry of every kind of religion out there. I'm a Baptist. I'm not Baptist by choice. I'm Baptist by conviction. You have to know it. We didn't hide it from you. It's printed on every piece of paper that comes out of this church. Do you have any idea how many pieces of paper come out of this church? I have two mega copiers that I wear out about every 2 years. I wish if Paul Mongan were here, he could tell you how many pieces of paper we produce in this place. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of pieces of paper. Every one of them say Baptist on it. We're not changing all those pieces of paper. People come in and say, "Well, what are you, Baptist?" "No, yeah. Glad to see you woke up." People come in that they come in to change me. You ask Mrs. Owen, she's been married to me for almost 30 years. You ain't going to change me. Now, there's some things about my attitude that need to change. And my walk with God needs to get better. But the doctrine and the things I believe, you are not changing. I will not change. But people just didn't read the sign right. That'll get you in trouble. Get a church in trouble, too. Number 11. I want you to listen to this very carefully. Number 11, people who spend their time comparing their current church to their past church. Get this. People who spend their time comparing their current church to their past church. Let me say to everybody here that's come here from out of town, I begged no one to come here. I begged no one. I have to explain something to you. I want you to understand something. Did you know that I pastor people that were pastored by Dr. Lee Robertson? Right now. I'm pastoring people that were pastored by Dr. Jack Hiles. I'm pastoring people that were pastored by Dr. Tom Malone. I'm pastoring people that were pastored by Dr. Curtis Etzen. I'm pastoring people that were pastored by a great man from just north of us, Dr. Carl Stone, Dr. Don Smith. I'm sorry, folks. I'm Jeff Owens. I'm not as good as all those people. I already know that. Thank you for reminding me. Thank God I've got a people that keep me humble. No, I'm half all of their ages. Apologize to you that they pastored their churches for 40 and 50 years, and I've been pastoring mine for 7. But when you sit in those pews and you spend your time comparing this work to theirs, you're doing yourself a disservice. You're doing your church a disservice. No, I'm not as great as those men. I never will be as great as those men. I want to do my best. But you just have to accept the fact I'm Jeff Owens. I checked. It's on my driver's license. There's no way out of it. I'm stuck. So, you have to keep that in mind. There's some of you that transferred your body, but you've not transferred your heart. And people that transfer their bodies but don't transfer their hearts eventually end up causing problems in a church. You can only keep it at bay so long. So, what happens? People, they transfer into a church and they are busy comparing to other works. When the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, it has a flavor of its own. We're not exactly like any other church. Now, doctrinally, we ought to be like any other church is doctrinally right. But some other parts of it just not going to be the same. So we compare to our past pastor. We compare to our past church. You say, well, the church I came from is smaller. Well, somebody else said the church I came from was bigger. The church that I came from was newer. Well, our church is this size. These are our chandeliers. And I don't know how to go get bits and pieces from all the buildings where everybody came from to make you comfortable. We just have to take what we have here and go with it. You say, well, I want our conferences to be like all their conferences. I'm very sorry. We have an old past conference. There's never been anything like it. We started it ourselves. We have an East Coast Ladies Conference. This church started it, and it's ours. We're getting ready to start a youth conference. It may not be like everybody else's. We will preach pure doctrine. We will preach standards. We will preach right. But I apologize to you that if our conference is not exactly what you want it to be, you might look at some of the other conferences and see how long they were around, and we've got a pretty good start on things. I happen to know the history of all those, know the history of all these men's churches, too, and I also know where they were at after 7 years in the ministry. You might not realize where you're sitting and what's going on around here. I've studied them. I know. You say, well, the Christian school my kids used to go to, I apologize to you. I've been working at it for 7 years. Say, oh, well, this is better and that was better. Yeah, you're probably right. I'll just have to do my best and we'll fix it and do what we can to make it the best Christian school we can. But I apologize to you that I can't offer you everything that you've ever touched that's perfect. You have an imperfect pastor. You have a pastor that loves you. You have a pastor that probably takes about 8 days off a year. I get up very early. I work very late. I work at a pace that is quick. It's pretty quick. Most of you are saying, slow down. You're going to wear us out. I'm trying to make everything good for us as fast as I can. And you ought to try raising a couple $1 million a year in this economy. It's not as easy as what you might think. But what happens is we begin to compare where we are to where we used to be. And sometimes we don't realize we're not comparing apples to apples. Past ministries. Look, we're starting a Bible college. Do you know right now what I have for my Bible college? I don't have anything. I don't have any dormitories. I don't have any beds. I don't have any dressers. I don't have anything. Now, when was the last time you started the Bible college from scratch? Do you expect a Bible college that's going to be started from scratch, zero, nothing, to be like the colleges that have been around for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years? I'll apologize to you. I can't figure out how to get that done. And for some reason, God never lays millions of dollars in my lap. I have to scratch and tip for every penny. I'm probably going to have to collect the aluminum cans and sell it to get my dormitory bill. But my daddy always told me, son, you'll appreciate what's been built if you paid for it and wasn't handed to you. Well, around here, everybody knows everything we have, we've worked hard. We pieced it together. But let me tell you something. You go comparing everything else to where you're at, you'll find yourself unsatisfied. So be careful now. You could hurt your church. Let me give you something else. Got a couple more and we're done. What kind of people, what kind of scenarios or situations can destroy a church? Ex-staff members that mishandled themselves toward the church. As people used to work for the church. Now, we have ex-staff members that behave themselves well. We have ex-staff members that have gone on to do other ministries. We have ex-staff members, some that have retired. We have them right here in our church. They're fantastic people. But anybody that's been around churches for long know that sometimes ex-staff members cause chaos in a church. Chaos. Here's all you got to do. If you see a negative spot in the church someday, check to see that negative spot is attached to an ex-staff member. And again, you don't have to be brilliant. Anybody that's been around churches for any time at all, no. It is a potential nasty situation. I don't want us to have it. If you're ever an ex-staff member here, you ought to behave yourself toward us. We'll behave ourselves toward you. But don't you hurt this church. Don't hurt this work. Ex-staff members have no right to influence people and pull them away. They shouldn't be doing that. I'm an ex-staff member. I've not tried to pull anybody away from the place where I worked. You've never heard me criticize where I used to work. Not one time. This church has never heard me attack where I used to work. Ever. I'm on good terms. I've been ethical. That's what is required of us. Let me go on. Number next. You take, for instance, people that can hurt a church. Now, you have to accept this. You don't destroy a church so much from the outside. Now, again, people from the outside can shoot at us, but if you're unified on the inside, it's pretty tough to destroy a church. We've proven that. But when the disunity and the disloyalty and that is on the inside, that affects the church. But I will say this. People that leave a church don't handle themselves right. Now, I'm not talking about ex-staff members. I'm talking about people that leave a church that are bitter with the church, and they're shooting from the outside. They, too, can hurt a church. They don't have to hurt a church if the church will stay unified. And this is an obvious one. Some people leave the church very well. Some people will leave. They'll be quiet. They're not out to hurt. But you'll know it. It won't take them long. They'll eventually get to letting you know what they don't like about the church, about the pastor. So some leave and they're hurtful. Some leave and they leave appropriately. But people from the outside of the church can attack, and if the people on the inside of the church let it happen, they'll be influenced. And that evil will get in and it'll hurt a church. Anybody that's been around church for long has seen it happen time and time again. Time and time again. Let me read you my list. I'm going to give you one more, and then we're done. What could destroy a church? What kind of people? What kind of scenario? What kind of behavior? First of all, church hopping troublemakers. Number two, church staff members or their mates that become disloyal. We're talking about somebody that's a current staff member. Number three, strong leaders in a church that won't follow. Number four, position seekers who have been offended. Number five, bitter people or people with wounded spirits that don't get them healed up. Number six, backslidden leaders. Number seven, evil people. Number eight, people who try to lead from the church pew. Number nine, people who won't grow can become very dangerous to the health of the church. Number 10, people who didn't read the church sign right and realize we're Baptist. Number 11, people who spend their time comparing the current to the past or other churches from which they came. Number 12, ex-staff members. Some do well, some don't. Number 13, people who just leave a church and then they hurt the church after they've left it. And then finally, what kind of people can destroy a church? The ones who hear all of this and still let a Diotrephes influence them. Did you hear that? Ones that can be trained for two straight hours about what could destroy a church, they hear it, have to say, yeah, sure, makes sense. Seen it happen time and time again. And then we'll still let a Diotrephes affect and influence them. Sometimes if the Diotrephes is without, he will train a within. You have to be careful. My daddy used to say, if you don't lay down with the dogs, you won't wake up with fleas. So be careful. Remember, it is my goal and your goal that we do not become Diotrephes. We ought to be a Gaius. We ought to be a Demetrius. But you be careful that you don't behave in these ways, and it will help you. It will help your church. Remember, even in our fellowship, we shouldn't. And again, I wish everybody could have heard the sermon last Wednesday night on fellowship. Most people fellowship for themselves. You've got to be fellowshipping for God. You've got to be fellowshipping for the sake of your church and fellowshipping for the sake of the people that you influence. Let's be very, very careful. No bones to pick. Don't have any problems. None that I know of. It's one of those sermons that will help keep our church strong, keep the spirit strong. I don't think anybody ought to take this sermon and try to apply it to somebody else. It was not preached for that purpose. It was preached so that you can apply it to you. You are making a mistake. You are making a mistake if you apply it to everybody else and you don't apply it to you personally. Let's you and I make sure we do right. That we live right. That's the whole key. I said this morning. I mentioned it one time, and we're going. If you're unsaved and you're in the church, you need to get saved. You say, I'm on the church roll. I've been baptized. Getting baptized won't get you to heaven. You've got to be born again. A lost person that is a church member is a potential Diotrephes, a church troublemaker. Why? Your father's the devil. You need to get born again. So if you're here, you're on the church roll, and you're not saved, get saved. Get it taken care of. Hey, if you're here, you say, well, I'm not on the church roll, Brother Owens. I'm kind of new. I've been thinking about this thing of salvation. The sooner you get saved, the better off you are. Get saved right away. Why? That way evil doesn't get into you, and you don't sit in that pew and become critical. And, hey, it's amazing. It is amazing what happens when somebody gets born again. Their attitudes change. Their perception changes. And so you need to get saved if you're not saved. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed.